The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, John Solomon joins us and Brandon Tatum joins us. There is a resurgence happening in Black America. Watch closely. Get involved with Turning Point USA at TPUSA.com. That is TPUSA.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at TPUSA.com to join our educational movement. That is TPUSA.com. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of the most important investigative journalists in America, John Solomon from Just the News, who also has a new show on Real America's Voice every evening. You guys should check it out. John, thank you for joining us. John, walk us through the State Department emails, the memos that you have obtained, and how that relates to Victor Shokin being back in the news cycle.
Yeah, I first interviewed Victor Shokin in the fall of 2019, and he said exactly to me what he said to Fox News last week. And what is remarkable about that, he's been incredibly consistent. Who's not been consistent? Joe Biden, because Joe Biden has told us lots of things that have been unraveled to be untrue, and some of them are big ones, right? My family never got money from China. Yes, it did. In fact, Hunter Biden was going to plead guilty to like $3, 4, 5, 6 million in 2 years from China, and not paying taxes on it. The laptop was disinformation. No, it actually was a real laptop. I never talked to my son or his business partners about their business. Yes, he did. He met with them, had dinners, dialed into phone calls. The litany of falsehoods goes on and on. But one of the enduring statements that Joe Biden has stuck to that actually sustained all the way through the 2019 impeachment of Donald Trump and everything since the elections and even until this year. In fact, just a few weeks ago, he and the Washington Post and others were continuing to utter this line was, yes, I did fire. I did force the firing of that Ukraine prosecutor. I did meddle in Ukraine's internal politics. And yes, that prosecutor was investigating my son's company, Victor Shokin. But I had that my decision to get rid of him had nothing to do with that. I was carrying out the U.S. policy recommended by career officials. So given his record, I went out to try to find the documents to see if that was true. It turns out there was a task force. This task force was made up of career justice, treasury, and State Department officials and the National Security Council. And together, they made a recommendation in fall 2015 that Joe Biden shouldn't withhold the $1 billion. He should give the $1 billion loan guarantee because Victor Shokin was making adequate progress on an anti-corruption reform agenda. In fact, the State Department sent a wonderful letter to Shokin saying, you're doing a good job. That came from Victoria Nuland, the top State Department official for Ukraine affairs. So Joe Biden wasn't carrying out policy. He changed the policy. And it just so happened he changed the policy in a way that met his son's problem. His son, as we know from his business partner, Devin Archer, was being pressured to deal with Shokin to slow down or stop the investigation. Well, Joe Biden effectively did that when he fired the prosecutor by withholding $1 billion he was told by career officials he should give to Ukraine. Pretty extraordinary unraveling of a story that Adam Schiff and all the impeachment managers and Joe Biden and the Washington Post fact checker and others imposed on the American people for 4 years.
So John, connect this also with this fake email account that Joe Biden also had, Robert Peters. Yeah. And so what's strange about this is that he had a fake email address, and it was at pci.gov. And so
right?
It's a fake email, but it's also a government email and multiple email addresses, burner phones. This Biden crime family actually might be more sophisticated than we ever gave them credit for.
Yeah, listen, I think when you hear James Comer and Jim Jordan talk now, that's the point they make. And I think you just made it very effectively. Why do you need a burner phone? Why do you need three fake email addresses, Robin Ware, JRW Ware, and Robert L. Peters, if you're doing everything above board? Why are you forwarding things from your private account that are government official documents to your son? What are those? I first discovered these accounts in 2021. It's my lawsuit, or it's my FOIA that led to the lawsuit yesterday and the discovery that there are now 5,400 emails on these private accounts that are in the possession of the National Archives. The archives won't release that information. Why? They had no problem releasing Donald Trump's information, right? But what's interesting about this is in the few episodes that we've been able to find emails from these accounts, what is Joe Biden doing? He's forwarding sensitive government information from his government account to his private account, to his foreign business pursuing son, Hunter Biden. I'll give you two examples. One is in May of 16, just a few months after Joe Biden succeeded in getting the Ukrainian prosecutor fired, he has a call set up with the Ukrainian president, who he pressured, Petro Poroshenko. That call and the scheduling of that call is sent to his son, Hunter Biden, who just happens to have an interest in what Petro Poroshenko did and in the country of Ukraine as he's working for Burisma. Earlier, there is an embassy cable that comes out of Turkey, Istanbul, that tells the vice president there's about to be a secret release of a U.S. hostage, a U.S. prisoner in Turkey who had long been held. This is non-public information. It's a sensitive moment letting this get out because Turkey may or may not do it, right? It's a tinder dry moment. They want to be careful. And what does Joe Biden do? He forwards that information to his private account and then he sends it to his son. Again, non-public government information has a little bit of the rings of Hillary Clinton and her private email server. Obviously, there's some differences, but Joe Biden has a Hillary Clinton problem. He also has a problem with falsehoods and with clearly now getting his job by lying to the American people. His last job interview during the debates, all false information.
So here's what doesn't make sense, John. So the email address that Joe Biden had was a PCI.gov email address. That's not a federal government email address. That's a state of Pennsylvania email address that if you type in, it goes to like the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. So why does he have a Pennsylvania email address? Who made it for him? And secondly, the buried lead here is that from an EOP OVP, which means Executive Office of the Vice President, the staffers obviously knew that this was the communique channel. So who made a Pennsylvania-based email address for a sitting vice president?
Yeah, we don't know the answer or whether that's an alias that refers to yet another account. But it is clear that government officials were corresponding with it, and then that account would forward at from time that and other accounts like it, because there's three accounts that we identified. They then get forwarded to another account. So there's a lot of questions here. Sometimes an email address can look like something and it can be forwarding to another one. We don't know the answer, but the pattern is concerning. Why lie? Why have a burner phone? Why have multiple email accounts that you're doing government business on when you're trained, when you first come into office? You shouldn't do that. There's something untoward and we don't know the full extent of it yet. But Joe Biden, so one thing we do know, the story Joe Biden gave the American people during impeachment and since, to get his job as president doesn't add up. The facts contradict and conflict with what he's told us. That's a big problem for a president heading into re-election with an already low popularity rating because of the fact that he's got a bad inflation, bad inflationary economy, has had major missteps on the world stage like the Afghanistan withdrawal. An unpopular president with now the smell of corruption around him.
Yeah, it's very strange. If you type in PCI.gov, then it goes to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. I mean, so Joe Biden's not technically savvy enough to make his own email address. So somebody made him an email. Anyway, so if anyone out in the universe knows the story of why Joe Biden would have that, he never was a senator from Pennsylvania. He was a senator from Delaware. He grew up in Scranton. And so the private email he had was a government email address for Pennsylvania. Somebody has to answer for that. Okay. So, but despite all this, John, I want to play this piece of tape. It's infuriating. I think the evidence is overwhelming. It's not a hard, tough call. Let's start impeachment proceedings. But Republican Don Bacon says, nah, I'm not convinced. Play cut 51.
last week, I spoke with Congressman Don Bacon. He's a Republican from Nebraska, and the district he represents is one that President Biden won back in 2020. He said he's not ready to open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden because he hasn't seen direct evidence, A, of a high crime or misdemeanor that President Biden has allegedly committed, and B, in all these investigations into the Biden business dealings and into the Hunter Biden plea deal and so forth, Don Bacon said he hasn't seen a direct link to President Biden. So he said until that there is a direct link and there is evidence of a high crime or misdemeanor, he's not ready to launch an impeachment inquiry.
Okay, so John, has your reporting demonstrated a direct link?
There are certainly insinuations of it. I think there's a lot more evidence that's going to come out in the next 6 weeks that will strengthen the case. I can tell you this, Kevin McCarthy is short of the votes needed for a House impeachment inquiry. A vote on the floor would not succeed right now. So more work needs to be done. That said, there is a lot of things happening behind the scenes that are going to direct new evidence. And Joe Biden's going to become more and more clearly involved in his son's business dealings over the next few months. You're going to see things like the State Department documents made last week. This is the beginning of an avalanche. But my own headcount tells me that Kevin McCarthy is quite a few votes short, maybe a dozen or more votes short to get the impeachment inquiry. So you don't have the vote until you have the votes.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. So, John Solomon, is it true that this fake email account had over 5,000 emails directed to it? And how many email addresses did he have?
There are a total of three. Two are Gmail accounts, robinware at 456 at Gmail, and then I think jrbware at gmail.com, and then this pci.gov. We don't know the origin. Well, the first two we know are Gmail accounts, so it's pretty simple to understand what's going on. They're clearly private email accounts. pci.gov, we do not know if that's a redirect, meaning that it was an alias, and then when you hit that server, it redirected somewhere else. We are still digging into that. Senator Grassley and Ron Johnson have been digging into it. Remember, I first broke these email accounts back in the summer of 2021. For 2 years, we've been fighting to get this. We just recently, through the work with the Southeastern Legal Foundation, get a total number. But between those three accounts, National Archives say they have a total of 5,400 emails that either went to or from those accounts that conducted government business, meaning that they're part of the archives because they are government business. That's a Hillary Clinton-like problem for Joe Biden, even before we get new information. But the domain of PCI.gov is a mystery. It doesn't appear that there are other places that use that email that we can find. We don't know if it was a redirect. Sometimes you can put an email that it redirects when it hits a server. We're still trying to figure those things out, as have our Senate and House investigators who've been on the case for 2 years and yet not been able to get answers. It's it clearly is one of the great secrets that we have to unravel over the next few months.
So as we continue to look into it, do you think that each one of these email addresses was basically consigned to a different foreign deal? Meaning like was there a connection of subject matter that he was thinking, okay, my Gmail's for the China treason, you know, my PCI Gov is for the Ukraine treason. Is there any sort of methodology to this?
There isn't. When you look at the laptop, all three emails are implicated and all sorts of different things are coming in. I told you about the Turkey release. I told you about the Ukrainian president. But sometimes it's, hey, some people think Joe Biden should run for president against Hillary Clinton in 2016. Or did you see the latest polling numbers? sort of a political conversation. Lots of different people using the different accounts. My guess is that maybe they're different by year. It looks like JRB Ware was in for a certain amount of time, and then Robin Ware, and then this PCI.gov. It may be that he switched accounts over the years. It seems like earlier emails are in one email account, mid-years are different, and then maybe there was a third account created every couple of years. That's one theory that investigators have, but a lot more digging needs to occur. The fact that the National Archives won't release these records without having to go to court like we're doing with the Southeastern Legal Foundation, frustrating, right? I remember within 12 hours or 14 hours of me sending an email to the archives, they made it public, right? Because reporters asked for it. But these, they've been dragging their feet on since I asked for them back in the summer of 2021 or the fall of 2021. So the National Archives is another place where there's a real question of equal treatment of Americans. And I think that Congress is going to put its foot down. James Comer is marching towards a subpoena, I think, for these documents. And probably in the next few months, we'll get answers. But it's sad that the nation's historical agency plays a game of rope-a-dope and keep away. And you have to go to litigation and subpoenas to get something that should be the American people's own product. These are government work product. We, the people, should own them.
So in closing, if you know about some of the stuff that's happening in the House and all that, do you think by Christmas, John, the evidence will be so overwhelming that the facts will be so convincing that we could be in impeachment inquiry phase? Walk through the timeline of what you think we can expect this fall.
Yeah. Listen, it's hard to know what's going to happen, right? There's lots of different dynamics going on. Will witnesses cooperate? Does Eric Schwerin come in and give the sort of testimony that we got from our earlier business partners like Devin Archer? Does Devin Archer, who has a whole secret stash of documents that the Congress hasn't been able to get a hold of because a law firm retention company has got them, do those documents blow up and show things that we don't know about that maybe Devin Archer was hinting at? Will we get more bank records? Will the Ukrainians who allegedly made the tapes? I know there's some Ukrainians that have made overtures to Congress in the last few days. I think there's a lot of history to be written before we can make a really strong prediction. I like to stick with the facts. I will say this. There is a roadmap for new and explosive facts to come out. I see Jim Jordan and the House Ways and Means Committee and others. Next week, I'm going to put a new document out, a new type of whistleblower, somebody that was involved in the Securities and Exchange Commission, and his whistleblowing complaints about Hunter Biden go all the way back to the fall of 2016. So that's going to show that government knew about Hunter Biden problems far earlier than 2020 when the IRS whistleblowers get involved. We're continuing to peel back this onion. There'll be a lot more facts. I can certainly say this. There'll be an opportunity to make a more educated decision by December because new information is going to keep falling from the trees. But I don't know what the history is going to show. I don't know who's going to come forward. Yep. I do know this. The Biden White House is a lot more nervous than it was 6 months ago.
I sure hope so. Thanks to your reporting. Good job, John Solomon.
Thank you.
Welcome anytime. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining us now is Brandon Tatum, who is doing an amazing job on radio. Brandon, welcome to the program. Brandon, I wanted to have you on because there seems to be, if I'm reading the social media trends correctly, a little bit of a spike in Black America's support for Trump, or at least talking about the injustice surrounding it. Am I reading that correctly, Brandon Tatum?
Yeah, what's up, Charlie? Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I think you're reading it very accurately. I mean, I think that people of, I call them Americans of African descent, are historically conservative people. And historically, Black people have distrusted the government for multiple reasons. One being slavery, Jim Crow, and then you talk about the Tuskegee experiment. And so Black people have a healthy level of skepticism of the government. And watching what has unfolded with Donald Trump many of them can see the injustice that has happened to him, and some of them have felt the same injustice or the sentiment of that. And so I think a lot of people are waking up to what the left is doing. I think also Joe Biden is doing such an incredibly poor job that people are just walking away from him in droves. But I do think we're going to see an influx of Americans of African descent beginning to support Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
I sure hope so. I'm going to just play some pieces of tape here, and it's starting to get louder and louder. And Brandon, you've been on this for a while. The Democrats take Black America for granted. They take Black America for granted, and there's a lot of bigotry involved in the Democrat Party. Play cut 44.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. I was talking to my husband about it earlier, and when I really started educating myself and informing myself on Donald Trump, one thing that I'm passionate about is human trafficking, that especially of children. And when I really started digging into it, I saw that Trump also is a huge supporter. I'm about action. I'm not about words. Okay.
Yes,
I like the fact that he says what's on his mind. I like the fact that he doesn't say what he thinks people want to hear from him. And to me, I know everything that he's done for the Black communities, and I stand behind him.
Beautiful.
100%. I'm not only a Trump supporter, I am a Trump lover. And for the longest time, I've been afraid to come out and say that.
Well, here we go.
Because I didn't want to lose my Blackness or my Black friends or whatever.
Brandon, elaborate on that. How many millions of Black Americans just are looking for the permission to support Donald Trump or conservative values? Brandon Tatum.
I think it's a tremendous amount of Black Americans that are looking for someone to get behind that's legit, that's authentic, that keep it real. And Donald Trump presents that type of a person. And I'll just say this. There's two different types of Black people in this country. There's the people who are sheep that follow anything the Democrats say. They care nothing about the Black community. They only virtue signal. They're racist against white people. And then there's the Black people like the young lady you heard. She's married. She's intelligent. And she's not for the identity politics. And I think she can see the truth and what Donald Trump is doing. And I honestly believe a lot of Black people are just looking for somebody to get behind it, they can resonate with, that's going to get things done. The Democrats have failed for at least 50 years when dealing with Black Americans. And at this point, we haven't seen any results. And so people are starting to say, okay, there has to be something more out there. You know, Biden is saying, if you don't know if you want to vote for me or Trump, you ain't Black. I mean, and all of these things that the Democrats are doing are literally doing more to push Black people away than honestly what Republicans are doing to capture Black people.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. How movable is this group, Brandon, specifically in Georgia? If Donald Trump does one or two or three or 4 points better in Georgia with Black voters, it could change the whole deal. What message in particular do you think will resonate with Black voters in Georgia, and who should we be targeting politically? Younger, older, college grads, dropouts, men, women? What do you think, Brandon Tatum?
I think we can attract the spectrum of Black people, no matter if they're poor or no matter if they're middle class or they're wealthy. We also need to focus more on the men, because the men are the ones who are going to think logically. And I'm not trying to be against women. I love women. I'm married. But I honestly believe sometimes women can lead with emotions, and emotions is what Democrats use to play on you. They weaponize empathy. They have you believing that they're here for you and supportive and all those things that women tend to have a natural instinct to gravitate to. Men are a little more on the logical side. What is 2 plus 2? Does 2 plus 2 equal 4? And they're looking at it and saying, well, my 401k is bad. Gas prices are out of control. Groceries are going out of control. Look at the interest rates to purchase a house has gone up by a tremendous amount. We can't survive like this. And then you see a man coming out and saying, look, the government lied to you. Oh, they're talking about me and the way that I have cheated the tax system. They do it as well. They wrote the code. So, you know, you have somebody being real, being authentic. And here's the thing that I honestly believe, Charlie, is that Donald Trump was beloved by everybody before he became a Republican and before the media started bashing him. So people are not necessarily coming to grips with liking Trump for the first time. I think people are seeing the bullcrap that they've been put, that's been pushed in the media, and they're saying, you know, I like them, and this is the reason why I like him. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to support him because I'm not afraid anymore, because people like me and Candace and other Black conservatives are essentially making it popular to tell the truth and keep it real. So I think that's what the direction of the Black community. I hope that we are right, Because if we get enough of the black community to wake up, the Democrats will never get win an election again unless they do mass amnesty with illegal aliens
coming
into this country.
And that's their backup plan. And Democrats have contempt for black America. Play cut 41.
You want to know why I'm here to support President Trump? Because they done did black men like this for decades. Make up charges and pull them. So I know Trump is innocent. I support Trump against this corrupt, two-tiered justice system.
What do you think about the indictment?
Oh, it's a bunch of bush. It's going around the country. You know, Fannie Willis, she went to school with my sister. She was full of shit. So she's a puppet for the white liberal that is controlling everything. She's in front, but the white liberal back there pulling those strings, telling her what to do.
Do you think it's going to help his election?
Of course it is.
So, Brandon, there is a sentiment in black America of us versus them, especially with black men, that the rules have been written against us, that the laws have been written against us. And the Democrats are now in a tricky spot because they control everything from the dog catcher, the mosquito abatement district, to the mayor, to the principal of the school, to the congressman, to everything. Is there a possible glitch in the matrix where Donald Trump says, hey, they're against me too?
I think there could be a huge potential here, Charlie. I honestly believe if Donald Trump could come out and be authentic and he can expose them, because just the fact that they indicted him is not necessarily the end of exposing them. People can see that this don't make sense. You indict the man all over the country. If they did one indictment, I think people would be like, okay, maybe there's something there, but they're giving him hundreds of charges. He can do life in prison. He can be put to death. I mean, it's so outrageous. They've gone so far into Trump derangement syndrome that the average person is looking at this and saying, I've seen this before. And so I think if Donald Trump can win the case in Georgia, then everybody's going to say, oh, okay, this is what y'all been doing to black people. This is what y'all doing to people that you don't like. We see the writing on the wall. Now it's us versus the government. I think Trump has always represented that. But I think it's clear as the noonday sun now that the government is in, the people in charge are not the Trump administration. So they can see that the people pulling the strings are these people. They're doing corrupt things. They've been doing it to us. They're doing it to Trump. And when he overcomes, we want to overcome with the underdog. And I honestly believe that it's going to attract more people. Charlie, and when I go home to my family events, and this was back when everybody was voting for Democrat. Now I go back and God is my witness. My uncle said the other day, I ain't never voted for them Democrats. And I don't think a person in my household, my family, will vote for a Democrat ever again because they've done such a poor job.
I hope that's the case, because the Democrats have abused black America so much. As a quick side note, Brandon, can you just riff on the trans issue? I think that is a wedge issue that the black community, more than any other community, is so against this trans zealotry, the lavender mafia that is trying to trans young black kids. Your thoughts, Brandon Tatum?
Well, I want to start with this. I think that in the media, and it's been perpetuated that like most black people are in this monolith and they're mostly left. That is 100% not true. When I was growing up, you go to church, you believe in God, and you observe conservative values. Homosexuality and stuff was forbidden when I was growing up. You know, you must be crazy if you sleep with another man. And I think that sentiment, although I don't think people should abuse others if they believe whatever they want to believe, that's fine with me. But the sentiment in the black community is that is unacceptable. You go to church, you believe in God. And I honestly believe this is an element where black people could be captured by a side that's on the right side of history with this. I'm telling you again, one of my uncles, they had to do like trans training at his job. He said, man, I'm not calling a man a woman. And that is not rare in the black community to feel that way. So if the Republican Party want to attract more normal black people, not the leftist lunatics that sit on the corner, don't want to do nothing with their life, but the majority of black people who are trying to live the American dream, this is a winning message. Black people care about their kids. They care about the education. They care about justice. And all of those things the Republican Party is championing at this time versus the Democrats.
Yes. And I mean, we must remind them, as Malcolm X said, beware of the white liberal. These ideas are pathogens of white Upper East Side liberalism being put into the black community. And I mean, if you look at the percentages, if Donald Trump were just be able to win 30% of black men, 30% of black men, it could change everything. It could change the whole ball game. Tell our audience about your show. Just riff on how people can support you.
Yeah, the Officer Tatum Show or on Salem News Channel. I also do stuff all over social media. So if you just put in the Officer Tatum anywhere, you'll see my stuff, man. And I keep it real every single day of the week. I don't know how to do anything else. So you can tune in to that 3 to 6 p.m. On the Salem News Channel, syndicated around the country.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and Brandon Tatum has millions of followers that he has earned over the years. He is a legend. BLM was the chosen organization of the regime for an entire summer. They raised $100+ million. To the best of your knowledge, any of that money go for charter schools in Black America, safety community centers to reduce violence or to try to turn around single motherhood? Brandon Tatum, where did all that money that BLM raised, where did it go?
In the pockets of the CEO and the co-founders and everybody you can think, they boyfriends, they baby daddies. I mean, that money went everywhere but where it should have gone. Let me just say how disappointing BLM was. This was an incredible opportunity for Black America to be able to leverage a movement to do something positive for Black people, not commit a money grab and a money laundering organization. I don't know a single family that have received money from BLM, the internet or the national organization. Nobody. George Floyd's family didn't get any money, and they raised the most off of him. Breonna Taylor family, any of these people that they claim to champion, none of them got any money. Now, outside of the people that have been victimized, or a lot of them were justified shootings, but beyond that, what about the school system? What about the young kids that are looking for opportunities in inner cities? What about organizations that are already boots on the ground in the inner city in Chicago, in L.A., in some of these places that are already trying to do what's right by these young folks? They didn't give them no money. They didn't partner with them. They didn't give them any exposure. Even people like Colin Kaepernick, the sorriest quarterback to ever play football. Where's he at? He took a knee during the national anthem, made this big stink. He got a Nike deal for millions of dollars, and now he's doing a documentary bashing his white parents. These people are unserious. They don't care about Black people. They were looking for a money grab opportunity, and it's shameful. And I honestly believe if they can go and pursue charges on Donald Trump, they should be putting Patrice Cullors and the rest of these clowns that led Black Lives Matter in prison for a very long time. They don't know where the money has gone. This is a money laundering criminal organization that should be brought to justice.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense, Brandon, now that they're indicting everybody in Donald Trump's orbit, regular senior citizens, wouldn't it make sense for a Republican attorney general or DA to indict BLM? They raised money from all 50 states. Do you think it's that BLM has not been touched because Republicans are afraid of being called racist? Talk about that, Brandon Tatum. I'm afraid we are unwilling to do the right thing because the left uses the label of racism to keep us in paralysis and that we willingly bend over while they destroy the country.
Right. I think it's two things, Charlie. It's cowardice and then the lack of courage. And I was just, you know, at Freedom Life Church in Pennsylvania,
yeah,
for, you know, a turning point mixed event. And it was an incredible event. And we spoke about courage. And that's the thing that the Republican Party is lacking. They are lacking courage. Even when it's hard, even when people are going to talk crazy about you and say you're racist and you're against Black people, who gives a flying flip? You just need to do what's right. Charlie, we have the same argument about Christian values. People say we shouldn't touch the abortion thing. We shouldn't touch, what was the other one? LGBTQ. We need to worry about inflation and other things. No, we need to walk and chew gum at the same time. It's not necessarily just about winning elections. It's about also pleasing the God we serve. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what they think. We need to do what's right before God and for our country, and we will deal with the repercussions later. Because this is the thing that happens. We let them bludgeon us with the word called racism, and then we never end up doing anything. And then they overtake all of our initiatives, and they hate us anyway. So whether you go after Black Lives Matter or not, they're going to hate you and call you racist anyway.
That's
so
exactly,
I don't know why
right.
We don't pursue. There, we have positions of power.
This is exactly right. There is nothing you can do to win praise over the left. Even total submission, they'll say, why haven't you bent over more? There is nothing you can do to win over their praise. They want to control you, so you might as well fight. Fight, fight. Brandon Tatum, excellent job. Check out the Brandon Tatum Show. He's 6 to 9 Eastern, right? Every day, radio stations across the country. Is that right, Brandon?
Yes, sir. All across the country. Check me out. I go hard. I talk about Jesus. I talk about politics. I talk about everything under the sun. So make sure you check it out at Salem News Channel. You can catch it there as well.
Very good. Brandon Tatum, thank you so much.
God bless you, Charlie. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Think identity theft won't happen to you? Think again. There's a new victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., over 15 million this year alone, and many don't even know they're victims. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you could miss, even when you monitor your credit. If your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% their first year at LifeLock.com/Salem. Identity theft protection starts here.